came to the side door into the west end of the cathedral. He lifted the latch carefully so as not to make a noise. He bowed his head as he passed through and said, as he always did interiorly, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates." But even as he stepped inside, he knew that his caution was unnecessary, since there was a whole confusion of noise in the cathedral already. Matins diminished, its sounds so small they might be held in one hand, was nonetheless audible from the Lady Chapel at the other end of the cathedral, beyond the wood and canvas screen. There was a nearer sound that told, though the components were so mixed by echo as to be part of each other, that men were digging in earth and stone. They were talking, ordering, shouting sometimes, dragging wood across pavement, wheeling and dropping loads, then throwing them roughly into place so that the total noise would have been formless as the noises of the marketplace had not the echoing spaces made it chase round and round, so that it caught up with itself in the shrill choir and sang endlessly on one note. The noises were so new that he hurried to the centre line of the cathedral in the shadow of the great west door, genuflected to the hidden high altar, and then stood looking. He blinked for a moment. There had been sun before, but not like this. The most seeming solid thing in the nave was not the barricade of wood and canvas that cut the cathedral in two at the choir steps, was not the two arcades of the nave, nor the chantries and painted tomb slabs between them. The most solid thing was the light. It smashed through the rows of windows in the south aisle so that they exploded with colour. It slanted before him from right to left in an exact formation to hit the bottom yard of the pillars on the north side of the nave. Everywhere, fine dust gave these rods and trunks of light the importance of a dimension. He blinked at them again, seeing, near at hand, how the individual grains of dust turned over each other or bounced all together like mayfly in a breath of wind. He saw how further away they drifted, cloudily coiled or hung in a moment of pause, becoming in the most distant rods and trunks nothing but colour, honey colour slashed across the body of the cathedral. Where the south transept lighted the crossways from 150 foot of grisaille, the honey thickened in a pillar that lifted straight as Abel's from the men working with crows at the pavement. He shook his head in rueful wonder at the solid sunlight. "If it were not for that Abel's pillar," he thought, "I would take the important level of light to be a true dimension, and so believe that my stone ship lay aground on her side." And he smiled a little to think how the mind touches all things with lore, yet deceives itself as easily as a child. Facing that barricade of wood and canvas at the other end of the nave, now that the candles have gone from the side altars, I could think this was some sort of pagan temple. And those two men posed so centrally in the sun dust with their crows. And what a quarry noise and echo as they lever up the slab and let it fall back. The priests of some outlandish rite. Forgive me. In this house, for 150 years we have woven a rich fabric of constant praise. Things shall be as they were, only better, richer. The pattern of worship complete at last. I must go to pray. And then he was aware that he would not go to pray yet, even on this great day of joy, and he laughed aloud for pure joy, knowing why he would not go, knowing, as of old, the daily pattern, knowing who was hunting, who preaching, who deputizing for whom, knowing the security of the stone ship, the security of her crew. As if the knowing was cue for entry in an interlude, he heard a latch lift in the northwest corner and a door creak open. "I shall see, as I see daily, my daughter in God." Sure enough, as if his memory of her had called her in, she came quickly through the door, so that he stood waiting with his blessing for her as always. But Pangle's wife turned to her left, lifted a hand against the dust. He had only time to glimpse the long, sweet face, before she had gone up the north aisle instead of coming straight across, so that he had to think his blessing after her. He watched her with love and a little